Today on Real Radio.
Stop trying to be the goody good and impress God. Enjoy Him. Get up and live. And watch Him do His thing through you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. Now, we've been covering a chapter at a time here in our series. This time, we're going to cover chapters 26 through 28 because they all kind of dovetail quite well together. Now, this section of Scripture culminates in Saul's blatant disobedience to the Almighty when he consults a medium. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now, continuing in his mini-series called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
The law presides over a man's life until he's dead. Can you imagine trying to pull a guy over who's dead? Well, you turn on your siren, pull out your badge, turn the dogs loose, the guy's behind the wheel, pulled over to the side of the road, he's dead. What are you going to do, give him a ticket? He's dead. All right, step out of the car. You're not going to listen to me? Raise your hands. All right, stand back. Boom, blow up the guy. Did you kill him? No, he's dead. You can't write him a ticket, he's dead. You can't do anything with him. He's dead. If sin came to him and said, "Hoo-hoo, look at me, temptation, yoo," he would just walk by. He's dead. That's why the Bible says, reckon the old man dead to sin. Yeah, somebody would be laying there dead on a hot day like today, 100 degrees it was today. I thought it was quite beautiful. And the older I get, the better it feels, hotter temperature. Palm Springs looking more comfortable every time. You could have a hot day like this and a guy laying out there in your lawn with a visor on and an umbrella. You can offer him ice cream at 100 degree temperature. If he's dead, he's not going to enjoy it. He's not going to reach for it. Nothing. And if you and I would take God at His word and walk in the newness of the life that He's given us, when someone comes knocking at the door tomorrow, at the water fountain at work, and you know, she's the little corporate flirt around the office there, and you, oh no, you know, oh no, here she comes. You have to be afraid. She comes up to the, oh, I want a drink of water too. You want a drink of water? I'll give you a drink of water. Jesus says if you drink of the water He gives, you'll never thirst again. Never. She'll never bother you again. Try it. Oh, here he comes. You know, he's coming and oh, he's calling. I know that's his number. It's on my display. Oh, what do I do? Because you know he's trouble every time you're around him. You just swoon when he's in your presence, you know. When you pass out when he's nearby. Hey, if you flirt with that setting, you're going to get burned. But if you reckon, that is you determine, the old you is dead and you're alive to Jesus. Your body belongs to the Lord now and He's got that person for you, and that person you'll know. This other person is not for you. God will give you the very thing to say to them and the strength to put that temptation down. On what basis, on what premise? That the old man is dead. It's hard to sneak in a little secret drink, you know, when he's dead. He doesn't have an appetite. He's dead. Chapter 27 is David's lapse of faith, which leads to sin. Verse 1. And David said in his heart, listen to this, now I shall perish. Someday by the hand of Saul, there is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. And Saul will despair of me there to seek me anymore. In any part of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand. What in the world is going on? Watch, chapter 26 ends with Saul and his, you know, lamentation going back to Jerusalem, David, his head is maybe still up. He's getting weary though now. It's been going on a long time where Saul's been pursuing him. It's been wearing on him. He goes on his way like this, and as he begins to think, it's been happening in the past, it'll probably happen again, this thing's wearing me down, that we open up chapter 27, the great man of faith, David, the great warrior, look what he's saying. Verse 1, he says to himself in his own heart, that's a dangerous place, people, when you begin to talk to yourself like this, now I shall perish someday. It's over. Listen, have you ever been there? Don't tell me you haven't. Nothing's going to change. It's a cycle. I'm living in the wilderness. He's going to go back to Jerusalem. He's going to have a vacation or two, go water skiing on the Galilee, come back, chase me again. I'm living out here in a bunch of caves. It's never going to change. This difficulty in my life, this situation's never going to change. I don't see any break in this pressure. David begins to think. He sees nothing but despair. His lapse of faith begins to lead him on a path of sin. Because people, when that kind of defeat gets hold of you and I, it's dark in every direction. Have you noticed that? There's no way out, because now David is being led by emotions rather than scriptural strength. God had told him as a young man, you will be king. Then God, I believe, speaks through Saul one last time in chapter 26 and says, you're going to be great someday. David is still crushed. He's defeated. He's going down. And he's in despair. And where is he going to seek refuge? To the land of the Philistines. It's just like saying this. You know what? I've been a Christian. I've been fighting the good fight. Man, I've been pulling the line. I've been trying to stay upright. Nobody appreciates it. You just get attacked for it. Who needs it? People make fun of me at work. That's all that's happening. I can't do this. You know what? I'm just going to take a break. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to hide out from the one that's pursuing me in the land of my enemy, in the land of Philistia. And so in chapter 27, David goes to the king and says, King, can I just live in a neighborhood that's outside your city, so I won't be a threat to you? I just want to live at peace. I don't want any trouble. I don't want to live in Israel anymore. I'm not welcome. I don't want to live in your city because I don't want to be a disruption to your people. Everybody knows who I am. I'll just get a little place down the road. I'll get a cow and a chicken, get a generator. I got those and shine the world. I can't take it anymore. You ever feel like that? Don't tell me you've never felt like that. I'll be selling land in Montana after service tonight. You know? No, I'm kidding. But you feel like that. David feels like that now. And you begin to think, nuts. I can't take it anymore. People, get out of my face. I don't want to know anybody. That's where David's heart is. Listen, you can't do that. This is sin. He said, Jack, man, you're being hard on David. It's sin. It's not right. He's not believing the word of God that was promised to him. Church, Christian, what has God promised you? Great things. You know, you ever seen that bumper sticker? It's hard to soar with the eagles when you work with turkeys. You ever seen that? You're a Christian. God's called you to great things. But you're being a turkey about it. Oh, not me. You know, maybe for him, maybe for her, but not me. We're supposed to mount up with, as it were, wings of eagles, says Isaiah. But so often the Christian, because we do not seize the power and walk in faith, believing what God has said. And this is how you do that. When that world comes against us, like it's coming against David, he should have reached back for scripture and for promises. He should have reached back to the books of Moses and remembered. God delivered Israel out of Egypt, and he'll deliver me out of the hands of one man. God can do it. You ever preach to yourself like that? I'm being dead serious. Take a drive. Seriously, turn off the radio and preach to yourself. I'm not joking. Get in your car. You're not going to feel like it. Or take a walk. Probably take your car instead. Roll up the windows. Seriously, though, and say out loud. Any of you taking a psychology course, listen carefully to this. Because you're going to think I'm nuts if you're not paying close attention. If you're depressed or things are crushing on you, just get in your car and say, Lord, I'm depressed and things are crushing in on me. Lord, I know what I know. It feels really accurate. But my life's experience has taught me that I don't know everything that I think I know. God, you know everything. Lord, you called me to be a Christian. I never asked you to save me. You got my attention one day. You made me your child. I know your spirit lives in me. I remember being a Christian, and after 3 years of being a Christian, I read the Bible more chapters in those 3 years than I don't know if I ever have since. I prayed hours and hours a day because I thought that's what Christians do for 3 years. And I was weak. I was failing. I was vandalized and victimized by temptation. I was angry. And I remember in my apartment, I remember holding my hand up and I remember saying, God, it would have been better for you to have left me alone than to bring me into this. I was at peace of some sorts, and now you've come into my life, and 3 years later, I still feel like I'm not doing it, that I'm not making it, that I've done nothing but sin, and I can't take it anymore. And I took my Bible and I threw it across the room. And as soon as that Bible left my hand, I began running after that Bible like a wide receiver. I dove in the air and I missed it. And that Bible went falling on the ground and I broke down weeping. I was crying and God spoke to my heart. He said, I never asked you to do your Christianity. I was completely shocked. God, I've been praying for hours a day. I've been reading my Bible chapters and chapters a day. I've been going out witnessing. I never asked you to do that, Jack. See, I was bound up in a works relationship with God. And when I read my Bible more, I thought that he would say, you know, Jack, you're right on, buddy. Let's hang out today. You've earned my presence. If, no wonder I felt the way that I did 3 years. Oh, I was saved and he was taking me to heaven. But you know what? He couldn't even get near me. You want to know why? There was too much of me alive. It was all about me and what I was achieving before the throne of God. And it disgusted him. I tell you, when you get full of self, you go down. And Christian, if that's where you're at tonight, you're not going to die. It feels like you're going to die. You're not going to die. You're going to make it. You're going to be broken, crushed. You're going to be ground, as it were, on a stone. Stop trying to be the goody good and impress God. Enjoy Him. Get up and live. And watch Him do His thing through you. David's lost this joy. He's not writing those uplifting psalms at this time. He's so destroyed. Quickly, lapse of faith that leads to sin. How so? Number one, I'm going to give you five of them. Lapse of faith that lead to sin. Just being at something for so long. I've been doing this for so long. Nothing's changed. Number two, a sense of isolation. No one's ever gone through what I'm going through. Three, all I need to do is just get away from this trouble. Boy, isn't that, I get duped into that one every time. I just need to get away from this and take a break. That's not the answer. That's not the answer. It may be the answer from our jobs or from you know, whatever that carnal level thing might be, but it's when it's a spiritual battle, you can flee to the uttermost parts of the sea, and you can't get away from it. When our faith begins to lapse, we say and think things like, I can't remember. Watch, I can't remember anything that God has said to me. You open the Bible, and you'll spend 10 minutes turning from chapter to chapter, and you won't read a chapter because you don't know where to read. You ever been there? It's like, what? I don't know. I know I got to get into this, and this is where my strength comes, but I don't know. What do I, maybe Genesis. I don't know. I already know that. So much. How about Revelation? Well, you know, I just read that last week. What? And you debate with yourself. Forgetting what God has said. Number five, seeing yourself as somebody common. You've forgotten that you don't belong to the Lord God Almighty. He bought you at a price with his blood. David is completely in this condition. Instead of being amazed, he now is also going down the emotional panic, and it's tragic. The fix to those five steps: one, we need to counter this being at it for so long by putting things into perspective. Two, we need to encounter this sense of isolation by fellowshipping with a saint. Let me tell you what I think that means. It doesn't mean to hang out with somebody next to you who just looks really godly. That's not what I'm talking about. That's a sweet thing, though. You know what? By fellowshipping with a saint, in my life, what helps me is what I'm going through. I need to find one of those awesome saints in the Bible that went through the same thing I'm going through. Recently, I've read the book of Nehemiah 7 times because I can really relate to Nehemiah in the construction progress that we're going through, or the lack thereof. Nehemiah. And I'm asking the Lord, please make me more like Nehemiah. Teach me how to be like Nehemiah. Why? What I need to do at this thing of a sense of isolation is that I need a fellowship with one of God's saints. And I'm talking about one out of the Bible. Find somebody who meets or fits the situation you're in. It's powerful and it becomes very personal. We want to counter that, getting away from the trouble temptation with, Lord, show me you in the midst of the trouble. This is what I'm learning too now, is that in the worst situation, God is actually saying, hey, Jack, how do you like it? I made this one specially for you. Do you see me in it? No! Yeah, all the trouble, this big mushroom cloud that's forming. Look behind the cloud. Look behind the cloud. All I can see is the cloud. You want to talk about a cloud and God behind it? Look at September 11th, 2001. 3,000 plus people died. I wonder how many tens of thousands, if not more, have accepted Christ since then. See Christ in it. See Christ behind it. Whatever that trouble is. And to counter that forgetting what God has said thing, reflect upon previous victories. David, you killed giants. David, you routed godless kingdoms. Think back on past victories. Number five, we need to counter that seeing yourself as a common person by examining your family tree in the Lord. That'll bless your heart big time. Chapter 28, Saul's desperation leads to death. And the battle lines are drawn. Chapter 28, we see now the great call to battle again. It's forming, it's taking place very quickly. Let's go through this, verses 4 through 6. It says, then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped in Shunem. So Saul gathered all the Israel together and they encamped at Gilboa. And when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid. And his heart trembled greatly. That is, he was physically sickened by fear. And when Saul, when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dream or by Urim or by prophets. This is absolutely petrifying. And so Saul now is brought to this point of great desperation, and it's going to lead to death. Verse 7 goes on, then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium. Give me a witch. Give me somebody who's a channeler or a conjurer, that I may go to her and inquire of her. Is that not desperate? He's going to that which has been forbidden in Scripture. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me one whom I shall name to you. Then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord. Listen to this. Oh, I swear to you by God, as we do this demonic thing, you won't get hurt. He's nuts, I'm telling you. As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. Remember, he's dead. When the woman saw, listen, verse 12. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, what is its form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground, and he bowed down. People, be careful. Stay as far away from that stuff as possible. There's demons speaking to those people. And demons, we know from Scripture, have the power to imitate people. There are cults that your confirmation to the faith is the visitation of a departed loved one of the family that comes to you and says, in an apparition, an appearance in your room. I saw her in my room last night. It was her, and she knew things about me. It must be true. Demonic. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 that when you depart from this world, you go into eternity. You don't come back. This is serious stuff. Jot it down. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, condemns a lot of stuff that's on TV today. You want to know why? You want to know why? Oh, it's just fun. It's not fun. You want to know why God condemns it? Are you ready for this? Because that guy Edwards, it's real. That's why God condemns it. Demonic power is real. The Bible says in Exodus 22:18, you shall not permit a witch to live. Why? Because there's demons in them and around them. And they deceive people and they tell them stories that gets their minds off of the gospel and get them derailed into hell. Sounds harsh, huh? Well, I'll tell you what. God does not take the deception of a soul that gets sucked into hell lightly when he sent his son to die on the cross to save such people from hell.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapters 26 through 28. It's a section of scripture that culminates in Saul's blatant disobedience to the God of Israel when he consults a medium. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is part of Pastor Jack's series through this fascinating Old Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've been in this Old Testament book for a while, and if you missed any part of it, not a problem. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series all on one MP3 CD. That's Pastor Jack's entire series through the book of 1 Samuel, all on one MP3 CD, for your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach called Real Radio. Call, click, or write, just ask for it by name, 1 Samuel on MP3 CD. Visit us today at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you prefer, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Or our telephone number if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.